fix all the things about the speaker. And it was all perfect, sitting perfect. Everything ready to go this morning. Keith sat down, wouldn't work. So, and then tonight, did you notice it stopped working?
Yeah.
I just don't know what it is. But anyway, we're still able to praise the Lord. And now I'm going to have to really speak dead fast here tonight because to get through this. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you tonight to bless your word. We thank you for the prayers that Keith has offered, Lord, on behalf of the community. And we thank you for the time of praise and worship, Lord God. And that song, just to be able to say thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. And thank you for your word tonight. And may it speak into our souls in Jesus' name. Amen. In our series, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, we've seen how God's prophet Elijah is viewed as good as he sought to obey God. And that's the only thing. I mean, the Bible says there's nobody good. Jesus says that. There is nobody good. Why do you call me good? There is no one good. But we're seeing Elijah as good because he sought to obey God and walk in God's ways. King Ahab was then considered bad because he forsook God and led the people of Israel away from worshiping God to worshiping a false god called Baal. And when Elijah was sent to tell Ahab of God's coming judgment, Ahab then panicked and repented, and God showed him mercy. However, Ahab forgot God again, and he was then duped by a lying spirit to go into a battle where he received a fatal wound and died as God had actually foretold. Well, King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, is the ugly one. She's the ugly one of this trio, but not because of her looks. She wasn't a pig with lipstick. You know, she was a relatively good-looking woman. And it wasn't because of her looks, but because of her ugly ways, her ugly character, and her wicked disposition. And to bring us up to date, two of these three characters are now off the stage. Ahab was killed by an arrow, and Elijah was caught up to heaven in a whirlwind. So those two are off the stage, which means the only person left is Jezebel. And we're shortly going to look at her prophesied or foretold demise. But before we do that, I want you to look at five images that are going to come up on the screen here. Keith, if you could put them up for me. There's the first one. Can you see these okay? Keith's going to switch the light off for us. Thank you. Okay, there's the first image. What's happening? It's a riot at the retail shops. What it is, it's children celebrating the death of Saddam Hussein. Next one, Keith, please. Now, that's a wee bit more obvious. What is it? This is American soldiers, or Americans, celebrating the death of Osama bin Laden. Next one, Keith, please. Any ideas? Come on, the flags are a giveaway. It's Libyans celebrating the death of Colonel Gaddafi. Now, this one should be easy. Next one. It's Republicans in Londonderry celebrating the death of Lady Thatcher. And look, ding dong, the witch is dead. And the last one, Keith, who's next? Could very well be. It could very well be, and there'll be people up and down this town celebrating Taddy Gordon's dead. As D.L. Moody once said, and this isn't part of my notes, as D.L. Moody once said to his people, one day you're going to read in the paper that D.L. Moody is dead. Well, don't you believe it, because I couldn't be more alive, because I will be with Jesus. And the next one could be me. It could be a Sinn Féin politician and loyalists will be celebrating, or it could be somebody else and people will be celebrating. We just don't know. But in the eyes of those celebrating, they were all rejoicing at the death of what they believed were evil dictators. And we may have even rejoiced to hear the news of some of those deaths, although I personally was saddened by the death of Lady Thatcher. She was one of my heroines in life. But whatever our personal views, many people love to actually celebrate the death of what they believe are evil rulers, dictators, or tyrants. It wasn't any different in ancient times. In our video clip that we just watched from the film The Wizard of Oz, we watched the people of Oz celebrating the death of the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. I mean, I remember, I could have memorized that because you had to watch it every Christmas for about 15 or 20 years. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. But when the news spread that ugly Jezebel had died, I'm sure there were celebrations. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 9 tonight from God's word. I'm going to fly through this. 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 1. And Elisha the prophet, that's the guy who took over from Elijah after Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil, pour it on his head and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee and do not delay." So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead, and when he arrived, there were the captains of the army sitting, and he said, "I have a message for you, commander." Jehu said, "For which one of us?" And he said, "For you, commander." Then he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people. I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. The dogs shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her." And he opened the door and fled. Jump across to verse 30. "Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, 'Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?' And he looked up at the window and said, 'Who is on my side? Who?' So two or three eunuchs looked out at him, and then he said to them, 'Throw her down.' So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank, and then he said, 'Go now and see to that accursed woman, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter.' So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, 'This is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuge on the surface of the field in the plot at Jezreel, so that they shall say, here, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel.'" In other words, she wouldn't have a grave. Not only had God foretold ugly Jezebel's demise, he actually had appointed a man to do it. Jehu was anointed king, and his mission was to wipe out Ahab's family, including Jezebel. But what was it about this woman? What was it about Jezebel that made her so ugly? And as I've said, rule out looks, because she was probably a very, very good-looking woman. So what was it that made her ugly? Well, we know she was a princess. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Sidon, or king of Phoenicia. She married this guy Ahab, and they had three children. When she came and left her home and came to live in Israel, she completely rejected the God of Israel. She wanted nothing to do with him. But Ahab, to keep his wife happy, made temples and high places for her gods, the god Baal, which is the god of fertility and of the elements, the god of Asherah, which was the goddess of fertility and of motherhood, also known as the Lady of the Sea. Actually, Jezebel's husband, who worshipped at one time the God of Israel, made temples and high places for her gods, just to keep her happy. Then Jezebel enticed her husband to actually reject the God of Israel and to make the Israelites practice her religion, to bow down to her false gods, which many of them willingly did. She despised God's prophet Elijah and threatened to murder him because he slaughtered 850 of her false prophets and priests on Mount Carmel. When her husband actually failed to buy a piece of land for a vegetable garden from a man called Naboth, she actually conspired to have Naboth murdered and give the land to her husband, the king. She was a dominating and controlling woman, often usurping her husband's authority and that of others to get what she wanted. Now listen to that. She was a dominating and controlling woman, often usurping her husband's authority and that of others to get what she wanted. She would go to great lengths, even prostitution and witchcraft, to get what she wanted. She persecuted and killed many of the prophets of God simply because they refused to bow the knee to her gods. Thus, she saw it as not bowing down to her. But God had ugly Jezebel's days numbered. He spoke through Elijah the prophet of his coming judgment upon her husband Ahab, saying that dogs would actually lick up his blood, Ahab's blood, where Jezebel had spilled Naboth's blood, and Jezebel would be eaten by dogs. God told Elijah, go and tell them this is what's going to happen to them. God then had Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, anointed as king of Israel, and he was tasked with fulfilling God's word regarding Ahab and his household. So God says something's going to happen. He already knows who he has in place to ensure that that happens. So when Jehu came to Jezreel, where Jezebel was, she dolled herself all up, as we would say. She seemed to be expecting him, and she tarted herself up. This is why I say, whenever women are taking their time getting themselves done, I say, oh, she's up there Jezebelizing herself. She painted her eyes, she done her hair, she probably put some sort of stupid crown to give herself some sort of glory, as she stood up in this top high window speaking out to Jehu. And from the high window, she shouts when she sees Jehu, all right, Jehu, you murderer. What a brass neck. Talk about a kettle calling the pot black. What about ye, you murderer? Have you come in peace? And Jehu was having none of it. He just shouts, anybody else up there? Who's on my side? And three eunuchs, three servants of Jezebel were there. He says, turf her out that window. And out she came, bang, head splattered on the ground. And just to make sure, he stamped on her with the hoofs of his horses. Incredible. Jehu has actually despised her that much. He left her body lying on the ground and went in to get his dinner. And once he had eaten and whatever else, he says, look, I'll way out there and get her and turf her into a grave or something, because, you know, she was a king's daughter. She was a princess after all. Go and bury her. And when the guys went out, they came back and says, listen, we could only find the head. I hope it didn't bring it in. That would put you off your dinner, wouldn't it? We could only find her head, and here's her hands and her feet. We don't know where the rest of it is. But the dogs had eaten her and dragged the rest of her corpse away. And so the word of the Lord was fulfilled regarding ugly Jezebel. Ding dong, the witch is dead. The wicked old witch is dead. There would have been celebrations all over the land when that news spread. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch is dead. And I'm guessing that there were great celebrations because she was a horrible cow. And in our terms, excuse the term, she was a bitch. And she was despised Ding dong, the wicked witch, the wicked old witch is dead. But here's an interesting thing. You see, although Jezebel is dead, her ugliness continues to this day. Like I prayed at the start, even though we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, looking at Elijah, looking at Ahab, and looking at Jezebel, we see characteristics of this every single day. And although Jezebel is dead, isn't it interesting that a few hundred years later, you read Jesus speaking to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, and he says, I want you to write this to the church of Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. And this is what he says to the church in Thyatira. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation until they repent, or unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Speaking through John's letter to the church of Thyatira, Jesus said to the church, to Christians, you allow that woman Jezebel, the false prophetess, to teach and seduce the church into committing abominable sins. So although Jezebel herself is physically dead, there is what is known as a Jezebel spirit, which seeks to dominate, control, and seduce by false teaching those who would be susceptible to it. It manipulates people away from God's ways, leading them to engage in immorality and in idolatry. And this is why Jezebel, or the spirit of Jezebel, is so ugly in God's sight. This spirit is always, always, always seeking, always working to seduce Christians or to usurp God's ordained authority, be it in a church, be it a ministry, or be it even in a marriage. It must be guarded against and prevented from getting a foothold. Christian, look, it's a matter of debate whether rejoicing over the death of a dictator is right or not. And I'm not sure celebrating the death of any person is wise, because we too must one day die. But being set free from the worst evil dictators of all, Satan, sin, and death, is something every Christian can and should celebrate. You see, those that trust in Jesus are delivered from the tyrannical kingdom of Satan and of darkness, and are immediately brought into the kingdom of light and of love. We are forever Christian. We are forever God's. We can never be Satan's again. Once we give our life to the Lord, we are the Lord's forever. And by his power, we are kept in his love. But being children of God, we have to be on guard against the spirit of Jezebel, which is always at work in the world, seeking to seduce Christians away from the ways of God by false teaching and into immorality and idolatry and everything else. May the Lord protect his people. May he protect us from this evil, ugly spirit, and help us to be led by the Holy Spirit to do his will. Christian, please don't ever think that you cannot be influenced by the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel will cause friction, will cause faction, will cause division to drive you out of the church. The spirit of Jezebel will make you think someone is saying something about you, or someone has said something about you, so that you become embittered, so that you become angry, so that you say, "See, they bloody Christians, I can't be bothered with them," and you're out that door. The spirit of Jezebel has done its work. The spirit of Jezebel always, always, always tells you it's okay to sin, because God doesn't mind. It's okay because all of your sins are forgiven. So God, who loves you, doesn't really mind. The spirit of Jezebel is a liar. May the Lord protect us from this evil, ugly spirit, and help us to be led by the Holy Spirit to do His will. And Christian, always pray, like Dave was saying this morning in his talk, always pray for that intimacy with God. Just as I said a few weeks ago, the only thing that will guard your heart from religious hypocrisy is intimacy with God, is that yearning for a deeper and closer walk with God, is a yearning for holiness in every area of your life. So that is the same thing that will protect you from a spirit of Jezebel. Pray that you do not encounter it. Maybe tonight you're here and you're not yet a Christian, or maybe you're listening to our podcast via the website. Well, I need to say that because you have not yet turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus, the Bible says, not Hattie Gordon, the Bible says, if you haven't turned from your sin and put your trust in Jesus, you remain right now at this moment, you remain citizens of the kingdom of Satan and of darkness. That is what God's word says. It says you are not citizens of God's kingdom, and therefore you remain an enemy of God. That is God's word. This is not my words. This is God's word. If you have not yet put your trust in Jesus, you are under the rule and the reign of Satan and sin and death. You belong to the kingdom of darkness, and you are an enemy of God Almighty. But, and this is the wonderful news, God's word says, while we were all enemies, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. And that means that while you are an enemy of God tonight, He still loved you because He knew you. He is the God who formed you in your mother's womb. He is the God who knows you better than you know yourself. And He loves you. And He sent His Son Jesus, even though you were His enemy, He sent His Son Jesus to die to rescue you because He loves you. And He wants to save you from that tyrant, Satan, and bring you out of the kingdom of darkness. Let me put it clear. Without trusting in Jesus, you cannot be delivered from Satan's tyranny, which leads to death and ultimately to hell. Without trusting in Jesus, you cannot and you never will be in heaven. God has provided a way for you to be saved. To put it another way, God has provided a way for you to be safe. Safe, S-A-F-E. And that way is Jesus. I urge you, therefore, based on what the Word of God says, repent. That means turn around from living your life your way and living in your own sinful ways, and turn to God. Turn from your sin and come to the Lord for forgiveness. Without God's forgiveness, there is no heaven for you. But when you come to God, He promises you, you will be delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and you immediately will be brought into the kingdom of light and of love. Believe me, that is something to celebrate. Celebrating the fact that the evil dictator dictator Satan is no longer your master, and sin and death no longer enslaves you. That's something to celebrate. And it's yours tonight. It is yours tonight if you will simply come to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, your Son, I stand against the spirit of Jezebel and say, the Lord rebuke you and cast you down. We pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus, you would deliver any person, Lord, in this place who is influenced by the spirit of Jezebel, that you would set them free tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any person, Lord God, who is listening to the podcast and is yearning for life, Lord, but is being influenced by the spirit of Jezebel to be led away from you and away from the things of God, we pray against that evil spirit in Jesus' name, and we say the Lord rebuke you, and we ask, Father, that you would set people free tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful God you are, that you this very night, Lord God, can lift a person from the kingdom of darkness and Satan and sin and death and bring them into your kingdom of light and of love, where there is forgiveness, where there is grace, where there is mercy, where there is love. Lord, thank you. We ask you, please, Almighty God, that your Spirit would work tonight in the hearts of us all. And please stir up within us a passion for you, a yearning for more of you, for intimacy with you, so that our hearts and our lives are guarded from the spirit of Jezebel. In Jesus' name, amen.